So I want to continue to keep her in prayer and her trip that hopefully nothing else will happen in that regard, and that everything will run smoothly the rest of the time. Did those of you who are just coming in, did you pick up a copy of the order of worship for this morning? Okay. This morning we are focusing on the resurrection of Jesus. And there were a lot of events that led up to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to be focusing on some of those events this morning. And the major theme of this, and I'll talk a little bit about this later on, but the major idea that I want you to be focusing on in this morning is, where are you looking for Jesus? Right? As we begin this morning, let's stand together and read the call to worship, Psalm 24. Let's read that together, and then we have our begin the song. Psalm number 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Amen.
You may be seated.
And worship them, your Father, we're mindful of this great world that you've given us to live in and this great country that we enjoy. And we pray for the leadership of this country, Father. We desperately pray that they will seek wisdom from you in every decision that's made. Strengthen us, Father, that we'll speak up and let others know that Jesus is alive, that you're alive in our life. Give us the boldness, Father, to do that. We pray, Father, that you'll protect those that are trying to protect us in this country, that you'll watch out over them. Give them safety, Father, wherever they are, and turn them home to their families. We praise you, Father, for the great plan that you had from the very beginning, that Amen. Your Son would come down and suffer and be your Lamb of God for us and our city. Continue to be with us, Father, and strengthen us as we go through this day that the world recognizes as the rising of your Son from the grave.
Amen.
Use this, Father, to touch hearts throughout the world that they may come to know you personally and strive to do your will. Again, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come here and praise you this morning.
Yes.
We thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for he is truly risen. Amen.
Amen.
Luke 24:47-50. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up. And a man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw that what was going on happening, they said, Lord, do we strike with our sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns.
Luke 22:54-62. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had a kindled fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat together, Peter sat down with him. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him, but he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them." "Man, I'm not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words of the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Luke 23, 13-25. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man of one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence, and I found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, if you consider he has nothing to show us yet. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to him, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. And released the man who was in prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
Luke 24:1-8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And their frightened women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words.
Thank you. to the tree.
Jesus, my Savior.
end, and he lived forever with his saints to reign. He arose,
he arose,
he arose,
he arose,
hallelujah, Christ arose.
Death cannot be his grave. Jesus, my Savior, he
God. Oh Lord, I'm coming for you this time again, asking that you would bless this cup as it represents the blood that was shed on that cross by our Lord and Savior Jesus. His blood that continuously cleanses us of the sins that we commit continuously. So long as we hold true to his teaching, we're so thankful to be able to have this opportunity to partake of this. And again, Lord, we ask that we do so in a manner that will be pleasing to your sight.
Amen.
We ask it all in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. Our next order of worship is the act of giving. Some people, you know, they feel like the church asks too much for money. And we all know that the reason why we give money is so that pay the bills and pay the preacher, of course. But a lot of things we don't know where the money goes. We should be able to see it in the things that we do. The things that, as a congregation of the church, what we do to help out the community, to help out anybody in need. And sometimes, you know, you don't never see it unless you're the person that's in need. But by faith, we live and we walk. And we give our money to it here, so that it's to help other people as well as to pay the bills. Jesus instructs us to give. When you think about it, God gives us first every day. When you open your eyes, he gives you life. When you speak, he gives you that power to get up, to go about making your money that you think is yours. It belongs to God first, and then he gives it to us. And then, in another speaking, he sits back and says, now let me see what you're going to do. And we have an opportunity to give back a portion of that which he blesses us with. And when we do that, we show God how much we really care. There's a passage of scripture, I'm not good enough to quote it verbatim, but it's a passage of scripture in the Bible. It tells us when Jesus was sitting outside the temple and watching people put money into the temple treasury. And he tells about the widow that came and put in 2 mites, the smallest amount of money there was at that time. And he told his disciples that she gave more than the rest. Because he was looking at the manner in which she gave. You see, other people just coming up just throwing money into the plate. Which, when you do it continuously, every week, sometimes you tend to not think about what you're actually doing. You're making an offering. You're making a sacrifice. You're giving so that you can help somebody else. But when you do it continuously, sometimes we forget what the purpose is. Just like sometimes we take what Jesus did on that cross for granted. But I urge you this morning to think about it and all the many benefits that it covers from your contribution. Even though it may be small, it goes a long way collectively. Not only what you give, but the manner in which you give. Because that's what God is looking at. Whether you just give out a bit, or whether you give it from your heart sincerely, and pray and hope that it's going to benefit someone else. I urge you not just today, but each time you make a gift, to consider that. Let's pray. So Lord, we come before you this time, asking that you would bless this offering that is about to be lifted. Lord, we ask that you would bless those that have the gift of the time, and those that do not have but have a desire to give. We pray, Lord, that these funds be used to uplift another kingdom. And we ask it all in Jesus' name for your sake. Amen.
Studying and looking at some things that have to do with how we live for Jesus in our lives. Lessons that along the line of living for Jesus in different ways, like living in love and living in patience and living in joy and all these different ways. And one of the things that we've been focusing on in that study is the realization that the world that we live in is a very unholy world. In fact, the whole focus has been how do we, as God's people, live holy lives in an unholy world, in a world that is seeking fulfillment and seeking life in all the wrong places. And that brings us to this morning in the focus on the words that the angel spoke to the women when they came to the tomb of Jesus, expecting to find the body of Jesus there. Now, think about that for just a moment. Jesus had already told them that he was going to rise from the dead on the third day.
Yes.
But they went to the tomb on the third day expecting to find his body there. Do you see the disconnect in what Jesus had been telling them and what at that moment they were believing? And the words that the angel spoke to those women, why do you look for the living among the dead? I hope that those words will ring out to you very loudly in your heart and mind. Because in this unholy world that we live in, that's what's happening. People are looking for the living among the dead. They're looking in all the wrong places for life. They're looking in all the wrong places for happiness and contentment. They're looking among the dead to find fulfillment. Just like the women came to the tomb early in the morning expecting to find the body of Jesus there, people today in this unholy world that we live in are looking for life in the wrong places. But that's why it's so important for you and I to recognize and understand the things that Jesus has told us and what we've been talking about, living holy lives in an unholy world. Because Jesus said in this unholy world, you need to shine. Let your light shine so that people can find the way to life.
Amen.
You need to be living your life in a holy way so that people can find the right place to go to find life. Because, brethren, if they can't find it through us, they can't find it.
Amen.
Because there is no other place to go but to God's people that will allow their light to shine to light the way to Jesus. Because that's what this desperate, unholy world needs. And as bad as things are getting in the world, we need to remember this one thing. There are still a lot of people out there that are looking for Jesus. They're looking for answers. They're looking for life. The problem is, as I said a moment ago, they're looking in the wrong places. It's our job to help them to look in the right place so that they can find Jesus and have life everlasting in Him. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Let that really sink in. Let it really sink in, because it tells us not only what we have going for us as God's people, but it tells us what our responsibility is to help others to find Jesus too. Think about all these things that we've been studying about how do we live holy lives in an unholy world. And by the way, we have two more lessons in that series we're going to be doing next two Sundays. Think about your responsibility to let your holy life shine in a world that is full of darkness. And here's a question for you. Are you allowing your light to shine so that people can find that light in the darkness of the world they're living in. If not, then the first thing you need to do is repent. And the second thing you need to do is to allow that light to shine, not being afraid, not covering it up, but letting it shine so that people can see Jesus through you and find their way to life. If that's what's going on in your life, if your light has been covered up, if you're not letting your light shine, then I urge you to repent of that and be determined to turn that light up as bright as you can so that people can find their way to Jesus through you. If you need help to do that, help to figure out better ways to let your light shine, then that's what we want to do. We want to help one another to shine as bright as we can as God's people so that people can find Jesus. So if we can help you to be a better, brighter light, then let us know that. And there may be somebody here this morning who's still lost in their sins. If you have not given your life to Christ, that is, if you have not asked Him to be Lord of your life and repented of the sins that are separating you from Him, have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, then you need to do that. Because as long as you remain in those sins, you remain separated from God and lost for all eternity. But the good news is this: because Jesus is no longer in that grave, because He is not dead but alive, you and I can have life in Jesus. And so if you are one of those folks who has not given your life to Christ yet, recognize that your sins are still separating you from God, you can have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of those sins and have them washed away in the waters of baptism. We got water ready, don't we, Chuck? Water's ready right here behind you. I urge you to come forward. We're going to sing an invitation song. The opportunity is open to everyone. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that needs encouragement or help, forgiveness of sin, or to become a Christian this morning. And that's what we offer to you right now. Let's stand together and sing.
They call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Spread the name of Jesus Christ wherever we go and tell everybody what he's done for us in his healing power to take away our sins. Father, go with us today, and Father, we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you all very much. Have a great day.
We got a birthday girl in our front.